Welcome to Chatabout. Chatabout is sponsored today by Beltrami Electric Cooperative, First National Bank Bemidji, and the Bemidji Chrysler Center Honda of Bemidji. Very serious topic today on Chatabout. The movie Sound of Freedom has been a surprise hit. Seems to resonate with a lot of people. It's been showing in the Bemidji area for quite some time, and I've heard many people talk about it and talk about the very uncomfortable subject in spotlights, and that is child sex trafficking. With it on so many people's minds, it seemed like the perfect time to put the spotlight on what's going on in our area with human trafficking. Kathy Gordon of Support Within Reach is my guest today. She will cover all of it, including the work of the Human Trafficking Task Force in our area. She's the SEY coordinator and regional navigator. And before we get into our topic today, Kathy, welcome to the show once again. And secondly, tell us what an SEY coordinator and a regional navigator is.
Well, thank you so much for having me. An SEY coordinator is an advocate specifically geared towards sexually exploited youth. So we work directly with the survivors or victims. And try to help guide them through not only the SANE exam, but all the way through court prosecution. Even if they are not wanting to prosecute, we help with supportive services. And as far as the regional navigator, I'm a glorified Google. So my job is specifically to connect individuals with the MDH Safe Harbor resources. So getting them involved in treatment plans, directing them to safe houses, as well as case-specific resources, depending on what that individual needs, connecting them with that resource directly.
Okay. Well, Kathy, the reason you're here today is because of a movie that actually has been making a lot of impact on a lot of people, and the movie is Sound of Freedom. For those who aren't familiar, it's about child trafficking, child sexual trafficking. And I just have heard so many people talk about that movie and how impactful it was for them. And it's kind of put human trafficking and child sex trafficking front and center in a lot of people's minds. And I said, I know there is there's a task force here in town that deals with this. And sure enough, it's kind of headquartered with Support Within Reach. So that is our topic. Not a fun one. And as you noted, if you didn't have to have a job, that would be a wonderful thing.
I would love to not have to have this role to not be a requirement. I would love for us to not have to do that anymore.
On the other hand, it's wonderful that people like you are willing to do that, too. So thank you for that right off the bat.
You're welcome.
All right. So let's get right to the question. You've seen the movie. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the movie, number one, and number two, how big of an issue is it actually here in our area?
Whew, goodness, that's a loaded question. So my thoughts on the movie is I'm really happy that we have the communication and the platforms that we are capable of talking about this now. Because it used to be we didn't talk about sexual exploitation or human trafficking or sexual violence in general because it makes people uncomfortable. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Nobody wanted anybody talking about it at all, let alone on the radio.
Right.
Forbid it being in movie theaters because it's a hard subject. It hits very too close to home for most people. I guarantee that, you know, at least one person who's been a victim of a sexual crime of some sort. And that makes it hard. It makes it a very difficult topic. But we can't change as human beings unless we are uncomfortable. That's how we invented fire. We were cold. Yeah. We needed to be uncomfortable in order to change. Having a movie specifically geared towards putting and shining light on human trafficking is making a difference because it is opening eyes. It is raising questions. How is it happening? Where is it happening? It's happening here. We have the highest rate of self-identified human trafficking victims in the state of Minnesota in our region.
Really?
The highest rate.
Wow. I think that, I mean, this shocks me. I'm imagining shocking a lot of people listening to this right now.
Yeah.
So what is your work? What is the task force? Work right now.
human trafficking task force that we have, we are laying the groundwork. And I can say MDH has done, Minnesota Department of Human Services is actually setting new guidelines that the entire country is taking into account. We are changing laws, making amendments specifically to prosecuting human trafficking and human labor, sex trafficking as well. Mainly, we are setting up ways to create communication between different companies, different entities, different resources, as well as communicating between police departments, the FBI, Homeland Security, and finding a way to do that in a cohesive manner, because more often than not, you run into firewalls, roadblocks. Oh, you're out of your jurisdiction. No. It's happening crossing state lines. It's happening crossing county lines. Making sure that we have that clear communication between all of those is daunting at times. And that's when I get to be the squeaky wheel and come in and try to find my resources or connections or tap into resources that my predecessors have made to make sure that communication can happen. The biggest part of what I do is this. Talking, doing trainings, communicating, answering questions, finding out how I can support the community and whatever aspect I can.
So, I mean, what are the numbers? Do we know the numbers?
Yeah, actually. Have you heard of the student survey?
No, I have not.
The Minnesota Student Survey is something that I would definitely recommend everybody to look into. It took a long time for MDH to be able to sneak in. I shouldn't say sneak in, but to get the questions approved in the Minnesota State Survey. It's a survey given to all students in the state of Minnesota. The age ranges are fifth grade to college students now. And they just send out questions. They even have the results of, you know, how many students identify as smokers.
Okay.
Simple things like that. But in the Minnesota Student Survey is where we get our numbers specifically on our self-identified human trafficking or sexually exploited youth.
Okay.
In our region, we expected our numbers to go up in our 2022 student survey because of the isolation from COVID.
Oh.
Because it was taken online, and we had a multitude of schools that refused to do the student survey. They felt it wasn't going to be as accurate because of the distance learning. but our numbers actually did not go up. We are still sitting at the same 8.2% of the students who did take and participate in the survey identified as sexually exploited or trafficked.
8.2%.
8.2%, I believe, is... That's what I'm remembering, but I'm trying to open up my survey right now. To be sure, I double-check myself just to be positive on this, because that's what the hardest part. No, sorry, 2.1%, 8.2% of our LGBTQ community identify as sexually exploited or human trafficked.
And overall, 2.1%.
Yep. In our region, the Northwest region, which is... just north of Aiken, all the way up to the International Falls, all the way over to North Dakota and South Dakota borderlines. If you look on the Minnesota Safe Harbor Resource, you can see this green area is our region. 2.1% of the students who took the survey.
And that is the highest in the state?
It's the highest in the state. Most people think it's going to be like Duluth because of the harbor, and that's not really, you know, Duluth or Superior or somewhere in that region. We're still, our statistics are still much higher.
So let's be brutally honest here with people.
Mm-hmm.
Define what we're talking about. What is human trafficking exactly, and what is sexual exploitation exactly?
Sexual exploitation, more often than not, you're going to see what we call survival survival sex. Survival sex is when you are trading sexual favors in order to have an unmet need met. So whether it's for food, shelter, transportation, that is more often than not what we see, and that's sexual exploitation. So you see that also with individuals who are in the addict field, or what we would consider to be addicts, is they are trading sex for whatever they're addicted to, more commonly known as baggy chasers. And that's just to minimize the fact that they are victims of exploitation, because they are trading themselves for a resource. Just because it's a drug doesn't make it any less heinous.
Right, right.
Human trafficking or sex trafficking, trading, that's when a third party is involved. So more often than not, most of the cases, people want to think that it's that guy in a white van rolling up and offering candy, or, hey, look at this puppy. That's not it. More often than not, we are seeing familial trafficking. Familial trafficking is when, let's say, a family mom loses her house, doesn't have somewhere to go. She is told she can come stay with a friend. She goes and moves in with said friend. Friend is then exploiting mom for sexual favors in order to stay in the house. Eventually, that turns into mom's not good enough, so give me your children. And then mom passes the children in order for them to continue to have a safe place to stay.
It blows my mind. I mean, I've told a lot of people this in the past. I grew up in Leave It to Beaver Land, right? Mm-hmm. Great home life, great neighborhoods. Just a total foreign concept to me that this stuff is going on in Bemidji, Minnesota.
Blocks away from the radio station.
Right. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it. I know I am not unusual.
No.
In that regard.
No. And nobody, an average individual, I shouldn't say nobody, an average individual wouldn't think it's happening in their hometown. They wouldn't think that human trafficking is a big deal here. I mean, that happens overseas. That happens in those big cities. But it's happening here. And it, less often is it crossing state.
Yeah.
It's the easiest access.
So, what is it about the northwest part of the state that makes this the easiest access?
I actually just I just finished my newspaper article on that. because that is a question that I continue to hear, is why here? Why is that? One, we have limited resources. We are amazing to still have the freedoms that we have in this area. We have real trees, real grass, real lakes, not man-made. I mean, a few here and there. But we have the freedom of still being a location for growth, outdoor activities. But comes with that is isolation. More often than not, when you think of, hey, I'm going to go and do a big shopping spree, right? You think, oh, I got to go to Minneapolis. I got to go to St. Cloud, because we don't really have that here. It's the same thing when it comes to resources, when it comes to communication. Yes, we have these great open spaces. We have all this beautiful land, but that limits our capacity to know our neighbor. To be able to see, and then also that means we have less people that those people can reach out to. On top of which, we come from a culture or an area where we don't talk about it. More often than not, when I was growing up, anyhow, it was, we all played outside. Everybody watched each other. You didn't come home till the streetlights were on. Heard the church bells ringing, then you better be inside. You know, that's what it used to be, and it was safe. We all thought it was safe. It wasn't. We just didn't talk about it. So we didn't uninvite the creepy uncle from the family gatherings. We didn't stop going to grandpa's house. We just didn't give him hugs anymore. Mm-hmm. That is the difference. And because we don't want to make others uncomfortable. Minnesota nice.
No. So what are the, you know, the acts themselves are just mind-boggling, and having a mindset to want to do that is mind-boggling to me. But let's talk victims here. Mm-hmm. What are the long-term impacts? What changes? What breaks in a child when stuff like this happens?
Everything. Their concept of reality has completely changed. The people, the core individuals that they're supposed to be able to trust, the people that are supposed to guard them and guide them, have done that, but in a skewed way. So they have to relearn everything, whether it's a child or an adult. And more often than not, almost every sex worker, so we have all heard of sex workers, prostitutes, hoes, in some cases, pardon my language, sorry.
It's all right.
We've all been like, oh, it's minimized in social media, it's minimized in music and so forth. Almost every single one of those individuals started off as a child who was a victim of sexual abuse. The average sex worker was initially looped in before the age of 12. First time reported usually by the time they're 14. More often than not, have tried to flee at least 9 times before the age of 24. So that's what we see. And when you've experienced that life, you can't automatically just jump out of it and come back into reality. It goes through years and lifelong experiences and having to recorrect and retrain that individual's brain themselves. It's a lot of self-work and to learn the entire world from a new perspective and not understand how to function in that world becomes extremely daunting, and it's so difficult, and it affects them for life. The follow-up care lasts forever.
And I would presume even those who get out of it and are trying to adjust, personal relationships, marriage relationships, things like that, may be forever tainted?
Always. And that's... there, and I'm not saying that there's not a chance to heal. Absolutely. Healing is possible. And growth and change and moving from that victim standpoint to a survivor standpoint to a thriver standpoint is the goal. We want everybody to thrive in their lives. It's the process that it takes. And just like anything else, if somebody was in a traumatic event, let's say we'll bring up, let's say, the fires that were just going on in Hawaii and Maui. Those individuals are going to be scarred by that for life. There's going to be things, there's going to be triggers that will bring them right back to where they were when that happened. And that's something that a survivor of sexual violence or domestic violence or human trafficking and labor trafficking, they are still going to have all of those triggers. So there can be sounds, smells, voices, there can be textures that can trigger that. And then working through that is the process, figuring out how to function around it, through it, because it will never go away. Those things will always be there, but they can be minimized and they can be understood.
Kathy Gordon of Support Within Reach is my guest today. We are talking about human trafficking, specifically human trafficking in our area. The work that you do, the work that the task force does, who all is involved in this?
That's a case-by-case kind of situation. It kind of depends. I've had scenarios where I've worked with Homeland Security, the FBI, and the BCA, as well as our task force, our tribal task force, and they all work so well together. And we actually have headquarters here, specifically at our BCA, just out by the airport.
Okay.
where almost all of the interviews happen if there is a human trafficking situation going on, however that is, whether it's labor trafficking or sex trafficking. There is a reporting process that we go through, and we accompany those individuals to the interview and help support through it. Our task forces, they have their hands full when it comes to this because it's one of the most difficult crimes to prosecute.
Really?
The state of Minnesota is the first state to be making amendments to human trafficking law so that we can properly prosecute individuals.
So what has had to change?
Well, we had to separate labor trafficking and sex trafficking, for one. So we had to make an amendment so that way labor trafficking would have its own area and sex trafficking would have its own area, because before they were balled together. Mm. And though they do tend to go hand in hand, that is not how they would be prosecuted. They'd have to be prosecuted separately in order for them to be properly handled in the court systems. And we are the very first state ever in the United States to be doing that. And considering human trafficking is now slave labor, it is the modern day slave labor. And how long has slavery been abolished?
Yeah. Yeah. Theoretically, for a long time.
We have more individuals in the slave community now than when it was legal.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous to think that we are just now getting laws specifically made to stop it.
I would presume most of us would like to think that it's somebody from over there, wherever there is, coming into our community and snatching up our kids and young women and men even, and taking them out of there. My guess is that's probably not the reality.
It's more often than not the reality. And it's all people. It's all people. All people are victims or could potentially be victims. That's something that I've tried to make very clear, that though demographically speaking, when somebody thinks of somebody who's being sexually exploited, they think of a young girl. Mm. More often than not, males are easier to traffic because they don't talk about it. Or male identifying. We still are seeing an uprise of all individuals, but that's because we are giving them a platform to talk. We're giving them safe spaces. We're having the ability to provide that resource for them. As far as who's doing it, the perpetrators are usually people we trust. There's been a multitude of light shed on that. So individuals who are in positions of authority, somebody who is capable of providing resources, somebody who in the community may look like an upstanding citizen, those are our people who are actually trafficking individuals. I wish I had my PowerPoint that I could just hand over to you. Cheerleaders, there's more often than not, the people who are helping get individuals into human trafficking, and I don't want to say cheerleaders are the ones, mm-hmm. but those people that you would see as the positive lights in the world usually are in, they have a way of gaining trust. So anybody who's capable of providing those lost resources. So in our area, our poverty has jumped. Our poverty in retrospect compared to what it was. Our most recent census said that our area, Beltrami County in general, is about 29.88% higher in the poverty level than the rest of the country. So that's unmet needs right there. The average individual who is trafficked is going to be under the age of 18. 24% of our population is underneath the age of 18. So the individuals who identify as non-white for their ethnicity And our area is 35% of our population. And with that, they are, according to the Minnesota State Survey, as well as our census, 6% more likely to be human trafficked. And then you add all of those factors in, and add in our 11% of our community identifies as LGBTQ plus or two-spirit, and they are 3.5% more likely to be human trafficked. So if you look at all of those factors, we are prime real estate for individuals to be seeking out. And I know that sounds horrible, but our community is an underserved population based on our statistics alone. And that is why people are looking for different resources, different incomes, different ways to make it, because it's difficult. Though we have a high unemployment rate and so forth, and there's always, everybody's hiring, everybody says that, everybody's hiring. More often than not, most of these behaviors are learned. Most of the individuals who are in a sexual assault experience are targeted by people that they trust, somebody they know, somebody that is very well known to them, more often than not, a boyfriend, a family member. And that's how it starts, is love. And not that love is ever not the answer, but a child will do anything for their parents' love. Mm-hmm. A first-time person being in a relationship will do anything to hold on to that love. And perpetrators use that to their advantage. If you loved me, you'd do this.
Is there any studies done or anything done to indicate whether, I mean, obviously the internet certainly brings out the worst and makes more people aware of things they can get that they maybe wouldn't have in the past. But I mean, even just the proliferation of pornography, how impactful is that?
The United States is the main, the main user, proprietor, there we go, of porn. So though it's made in multiple different countries, everybody has it, so on and so forth, we as American citizens are the ones who view it the most, statistically speaking. So along with that, we have the highest amount of sex trading and sex trafficking in the world. The entire world, I'm saying as Americans. Not as Minnesotans.
Right.
As Americans.
Yeah.
We have the highest amount that is documented. That doesn't mean it's not happening everywhere. It just means that we are now seeing it, and we are now documenting it, and we are stopping it. We are doing everything we can to stop it. Yeah. Do I think that plays into the fact that we're going to have more sex trafficking? Absolutely. Absolutely. Where there is an income, if there is a need, it will be met, whether it's positive or heinous. And it's one of the most difficult things to look into.
So.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. This is why you're here. So what do I, as middle-aged, middle-class, white bread Kev Jackson in Bemidji, Minnesota, what do I do? What can I do?
What you're doing now.
Okay.
Talking about it. Communicating. Being aware. Now, is it going to be, oh, I see a suspicious vehicle, I need to call it in right away? If you're getting that feeling, absolutely. It'd be better to say, hey, there's something odd going on, than closing your eyes and turning away and saying, that's not my business.
Yeah.
Because this affects all of us. when it comes down to it, it's not going to be that weird van. It's going to be the flop house. It's going to be the, and that's usually what people think, oh, that's where all the druggies are. That's just a flop house. That's just this. That's just that. More often than not, you are going to be seeing it and not even realize it. But you'll sense it. What you can do is talk about it. Make it uncomfortable for those people who have been comfortable in what they're doing. We need to make ourselves heard. And know your resources. Know who to reach out to. Look into it. Educate yourself on it specifically, because it is here. It's right here in our hometown and happening as we speak.
If by chance a victim's listening to this today and is looking for a way out, scared to death to make that call because of what might happen to them, what do they do?
Reach out to Support Within Reach. We are always there. Even if you've talked to us once in the past, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to change how we look at you. It's not going to change how we treat you. The biggest thing is start by believing, and that's what we do. We believe, and I know that there is resources out there, and there's no such thing as misuse of resources. That's why we're here. That's why we are here. Call. Stop in. We have a multitude of companies and agencies that we work directly with, and we can help you find the resources. If you don't feel comfortable reaching out directly to us, you can also call our crisis line. It's manned 24/7. There's always somebody who's going to answer it, and that is 1-866-223-1111. And then our main office number is 218-444-9524. Feel free to call. Just swing in. Our office hours are between 8 and 5 Monday through Thursday and 8 noon on Fridays. We have a website, which is manned. There is people who answer any messages that are coming through as well.
Same numbers, or is it maybe a different procedure if you know of somebody or you think somebody is being trafficked?
You can call us as I am. But also, if it is immediate, call the police. If you are seeing suspicious activity, if you're seeing, let's say, something that is throwing all the red flags, don't be afraid to call the police. Don't be afraid to reach out to your Bemidji Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, because you know what? Best case scenario, it's nothing. Best case scenario, it was just somebody having a hard day. Worst case scenario, I'll still be the one you'll talk to eventually.
Okay. Let's wrap it up with something a little more positive.
Absolutely.
If you're hearing this and you're impacted by this and you want to help Support Within Reach and the work they're doing every day, there's a fun way to do that coming up.
Yeah. We are going to be having Karaoke for a Cause next Thursday. And that is going to be at Bemidji Brewing. All people are welcome and invited. There is no age limits. And we are really, really hoping to have a good turnout. If you want more information on that, you can visit our website or you can see us on Facebook. We are going to be doing some challenging. I was going to see if I could try to challenge you into some karaoke.
Okay. I don't think you want that, but.
Hey, I never said it was a good challenge.
Kathy, if other people like me are impacted, you know, by this, and you say speaking out is one thing, but is there tangible things people can do? Are there organizations they can support or organizations they can be a part of if they really want to work on this?
Absolutely. So I would definitely say if you're interested, feel free to swing by our main office. We can sit down. We can talk. There are, whether you feel like you can be an advocate or not, there are different roles. There's different community partners we can connect you to. There's the Minnesota Department of Human Resources, MDH. They have positions that are available as well. But the biggest thing is we're always looking for volunteers. We're trying to do events all the time, just to try to be present in our community and be adding to it, trying to make family-friendly events so that way there's more resources, more chances for those individuals to be able to reach out as well. So swing into the office. Call, send an email. I mean, short of a paper airplane note.
Okay.
Come on down, and we're always welcoming individuals. We'll give you information. I also do educational courses. We do trainings, and we also are working on doing a survivor panel specifically from individuals who want to talk about their lives and their experiences and how it was navigating their resources in our community as well. So that's always a chance. There's always a way for you to make a difference or an impact.
Well, I think about you. I think about all the people at Support Within Reach. You mentioned there's a ton of different agencies, law enforcement people who are in this world every day doing this work. My thanks and my appreciation, because most of us, we are clueless and we don't have to deal with it every day. And so thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to be part of this today. You're helping make the change.
Absolutely. My privilege. Kathy Gordon from Support Within Reach. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Chatabout has been sponsored by Bemidji Chrysler Center, Honda of Bemidji, First National Bank Bemidji, and Beltrami Electric Cooperative. Coming up tomorrow on Chatabout, we'll find out what's going on at Sanford Center with Sheila Murphy. And on Friday, Hannah Chandler from Sanford Health will join us. Thank you for taking the time to join us today on Chatabout.